About to commence.
State. Well, you point at me, but you got to turn on the microphones. Okay. It's Carl and Abbott on Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. You know what? What a day. Look at the rain out there, and it's just not going to get any better for the next couple of days. Hey, I'm joined by our producer, Bad Bob.
So, pretty wet and wild out there.
It is. So why didn't you have my... Did you just want to take over the show? That was it, right, Bob?
I think somebody cut the red wire.
Yeah, somebody touched that red wire, and you pushed F12. But I'm joined, of course, by my partner in life, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, it is really raining out. Hey, a couple things. Wanted to start off the morning with some really cool news. There's going to be free dental work for youths offered February 5th. Shasta College dental hygiene students and the Shasta Community Health Center in Reading are going to hold a free dental exam for children 5 to 18. The exams are for youths who have no dental insurance and will include free x-rays, fillings, sealants, and cleanings. The care is going to be available for first-come, first-served basis. No appointments are needed. The exams are offered from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the following locations. 400 Market Street, room 8103 in Reading. 2801 Silver Street in Anderson. And 4215 Front Street in Shasta Lake. That's pretty cool. I'm really happy.
Free
about
dental
it.
Care. Well, that's cool.
Also, we know Valentine's Day is coming up.
Big day.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, my parents were married on Valentine's Day. So it's always, you know, okay, it's Valentine's Day and it's also my parents' anniversary. I think they're going to be married 57 years. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it's better than being married 40 years and that you're over 40.
Or for our 40 years married to 5 different people.
Well, yeah, you set that record.
So if you want to cozy up next to your sweetheart on Valentine's Day, one of the things that we love to share with you are these locally owned businesses such as Kubler's. And they've decided to come along with us and have donated. And there's going to be a winner. So what we want you to do is go down to Kubler's and fill out a form, walk in person and fill out a form and put it in the box, or come to our website, kcnr1460.com, fill out the form, and you can win a beautiful Macy Cafe love seat. And trust me, there's a picture of Carl and I sitting on the love seat. Very, very luxurious, a wonderful addition to your home. And if you already have great furniture, you will make room for this. It's absolutely stunning. So we're going to be doing that drawing on the 12th.
That's right, just in a couple of weeks. So just go to our website, kcnr1460.com. Push the button there. Just put out the information, mainly your phone number, so we can get a hold of you. The information is not going anywhere. It's just this, just for the drawing. Or go down to Kubler's. Enter the contest there. You can also look at the love seat. But this is a great promotion they've got going. And like Linda said, we're going to do the drawing on February 12th. You don't have to be present here in the studio to win. We'll call you and let you know if you didn't hear it that day. We'll draw the name, give the name, and then we'll call you later.
Currently 48 degrees. If you're just tuning in, it's 7:09. We're taking your call, 605-4567. We have a great guest coming in. We're going to talk about nuclear power at 8 o'clock. It's pretty great. 48 degrees. I can't see that. Weather alert. Weather alert, Bob.
Yes, the National Weather Service has issued a flood warning for low areas and those areas of poor drainage, and South Central Shasta County included, and Central Tehama County are included in that warning. So creeks are starting to back up, especially creeks that are choked with a lot of debris that hasn't been cleared out during the summer. So again, if you see a flooded intersection or the road has water moving across it, find a different route.
Well, they had an incident down in south of us where somebody drove off the road. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But, you know, this is, it's an unusual way to exit your vehicle. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
The Ensemble
Construction, 604-6702.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Carl Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're going to talk about today. We've got people calling in at 7:30 to talk about, of all things, sled dog races.
Oh, cool.
Right here in the North State. And then, of course, 8 o'clock, we've got Richard Merriman. This is going to be an interesting show, and I know you want to stay with us on this, because this is a man that's got 30 years of experience in the nuclear energy field. And he, every time we've had him on the show, it's generated a lot of interest, because we talk about things that most people don't know. You know, most people, when you think of nuclear plants, you think of the China syndrome or Chernobyl. And this is, and we're going to get into parts of that, by the way, when he comes in. But first,
go ahead. Yeah. I don't want to stop your flow, but I just want to say there is a wind advisory warning, and in fact, 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 55 miles per hour possible. I know just parking in front of the station and getting out was really bad. So just prepare yourself. Know that you're going to take an extra slow time to go to work or where you're going. There's going to be potential problems with local power outages and tree limbs and difficulty driving those high-profile vehicles. So that will be in effect till 6 p.m. this evening.
No, that is important. That we want to keep pushing this through. You know, and one of the things about when you buy a station and you start really from scratch is the things that you try to make, you know, advances every day. You try to do things. One of the things we want to do is provide services like this, that when we hear things, as you know, that after the morning, you know, and almost all stations, when you get into syndicated shows, it's run by computers. Now, one of the things that when they're run by computers, everything comes down through a satellite receiver and then pushed through our transmitters out, of course, over the radio. And everything has to be, I mean, literally perfect if you don't want to have that 1 or 2 seconds of silence. And 2 seconds doesn't seem like a lot until you're in radio. I never thought it was a lot. Unless you're in radio and you have 2 seconds of dead air, then it becomes a big thing. And we get, of course, the phone calls and Bob dropping chairs on us. that's okay, Bad Bob. Nobody's bleeding.
There was a 2-fire alarm at the Juniper Academy this morning at 6 a.m. Reading firefighters were still working to control the blaze at 6:30 a.m., but it did not appear that any classrooms were in danger, but you should still call and make sure, you know, classes are going to be in effect today. Anyways, just want to let you know that just recently happened.
And as I was saying, is that one of the things we want to be able to do is when things like this happen is be able to, as we get the news, if we're not in the studio, somebody's not in the studio, when something like a wind advisory comes out and we find out, we are procuring the software that we can then break in on a show and give an update to our listeners, so that it's not just you hear it, somebody calls you and says, hey, don't drive up 44 because there's been a huge wreck up there. These are some of the things we're working on, so that we can, you know, keep everybody informed.
And Carl, just wanted to tell listeners once again, they can help us test our video feed that we're working on, and it has a chat window by going to livestream.com/freefireradio. A brief commercial plays, and then there will be a video feed. It's just showing our console area right now, but there's a chat window, and if people are at the office or something, they can't pick up the phone and have the boss hear them talking on the phone to us, they can type in a chat message, and we'll pass that along. So that's livestream.com/freefireradio, and that is in testing mode right now.
Thanks, Bob. The other thing is one of the things that when people get married, you always think that, hey, the woman's the lucky one there. You know, here's a guy who's going to take care of her, and he's, you know, going to be working, and she's going to be, you know, doing, you know, small jobs around the house. Or, you know, she'll have a lesser job out in the community. Things have changed.
Statistics have greatly changed.
It appears, gents, that we are marrying up. You know, it used to be the biggest financial boost to the woman. However, it appears now that men are getting the big breaks now from getting married. This is, you know, and they're using this, by the way, they're getting this data off the census data that's going on right now. Pew Research Center that is releasing a report reflect the proliferation of working wives over the past 40 years, a period in which American women outpaced men in both education and earnings growth. A larger share of today's men, compared with their 1970 counterparts, are married to women whose education and income exceed their own, and a larger share of women are married to men with less education and income. Now, a couple years ago, there was a brouhaha going on about affirmative action at universities and colleges, but it wasn't based on ethnic groups. It wasn't based on religion. It wasn't based on anything except being male. Yeah, that's right. The number of women going to college in many of our universities was double the number of men going. And they were trying to figure this out. So what it got down to is that, you know, that they wanted to have affirmative action to get men into some of the colleges and universities, as they did years ago to get women into colleges and universities to get their education level up. Well, gents, guess what? It worked really well. And so now they're using affirmative action. They're looking at giving men a break in getting into colleges and universities, in scholarships, and in the in the entrance exams to get them on back into school. Now, is that interesting? Now, the big thing, though, again, is the difference between 1970 and now is that the men are receiving much more from their wives than they did that long ago, and women are now the major breadwinners in a larger percentage in our families. Hey, this is Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Tobacco and brew.
Good morning, North State. Wow, this is Carl Lindabot here, Free Fire Radio. The time is 7:23. The weather, 48 degrees, windy. In fact, there's a wind advisory now in effect until 6 p.m. this evening, and also flooding. So be careful. At certain parts of Southern California, I mean, they're evacuating because of mudslides. Could be up to 55 miles per hour. I mean, that's the high end. But right now, their speed's clocked at 25 to 36 miles per hour and wind. So please be careful. Go slowly. Look out for those tree limbs. Look out for, storm drains, flooding. And this is KCNR 1460. We're taking your emails at 1460.com. You can read them live right now on the air. And all your calls, 605-4567.
Weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, a place to go to right outside town. It's got a wonderful ambiance out there, and they're having a huge Valentine's Day party out there. You know, speaking of the wind, you know, this morning we took out the elk killer, the dog. But right now I'm having to put a weighted vest on her so the wind doesn't pull her away. One of the people that takes a lot of heat in the city here, of course, is the mayor, Patrick Jones. And Patrick has, he has a strong feeling about how money should be spent or not spent. He has taken on the unions enough, and it's where the unions have pushed back at him. But he did something, and it's just started, that I think everybody needs to know. As reported in the Record Searchlight, but it doesn't seem like a big thing, but indeed it is the report that comes out before the city council meetings used to come out on Friday. This was something that just said this is what the city council was going to talk about, what they've got to vote on, but it comes out publicly on Fridays. So what Jones did was he wanted to change that so it came out on Wednesday, so that one, he could have more time in the city, and our city council could have more time, because, you know, it could 500 pages of, you know, particularly, officious language makes it hard to go through this. But what he ended up doing was that they ended up changing it so that it comes out on Thursday. And it's not just for the city council, my friends. It's for us. It's so that we can read it So we have another day to digest what's going on with this. So then we can go to the city hall and have, you know, at least a modicum of knowledge about what they're going to be talking about. You know, the funny thing is he would have, he's been trying to do this for a while. And that he's been being fought, of course, by city officials. And that city officials said that, you know, that to give longer notice about meeting agendas and extended lead time would further delay city business. Well, let me tell you about this. Let's go back last year to something called Tank. When it was a little known part of one of these reports, and they just kind of went along with it because there was nothing in there for people to really take a look at or that people could digest. And the Transmission Agency of Northern California was then going to literally take land from people in Northern California. It's going to touch 6,000 families. And of course, then the fight was on, and we beat them and we pushed them back. Now, I'm not saying that Tank is dead because there is no stake driven through its little quivering heart. But what Patrick Jones has done is he's given us, the people, and that's right, we the people, a chance to see another day to take a look at all the agenda items and the background information of what goes on in a city council. So, you know, so let's have some kudos today to Patrick Jones. Yeah, there may be other things people get into fist fights with Patrick Jones about, but on this, he's doing the people's business, and I applaud him for that.
Speaking of news, we are going to start breaking on the 30 for Fox News. We're excited about that, not only at the top of the hour, at the half of the hour, at 7:30. So that's pretty cool. Love the fact that we're getting a couple people online that are watching the live feed. That's exciting. And why we're talking about, before we go to break, tweeting, you know, or Twitter is becoming such a form of communication. Mainstream, of course, you know, Sarah Palin and many of the, you know, people in powerful positions, and just the average Joe on the street. Well, okay, this is what's happening. You know the little candy hearts? Remember as a kid in school, you get the little candy hearts that say, marry me and kiss me, little tiny.
You probably got a lot of those.
Well.
I got one. It said, don't bother me ever again.
pull my pigtails.
That's tough for a six-year-old to get.
Well, now they're going to come out with one this year. That's going to say, tweet me.
Tweet me?
Tweet me.
It's become a verb.
Tweet me.
Okay, now, does anybody else have a problem with that? I mean, then you start getting these messages from you know, your kids and other people. Hey, I'm going out to have dinner. Oh, gosh, I'm going out to the car to get something. I don't care. Okay, I don't care. I don't care if you're having dinner. I don't care if you go out to the car. I don't care if you're driving someplace. I don't care. Because it really, I don't want to know that much about you and your life. So when you start tweeting and Twittering at me and sending me all these little things, you know, it's texting. I don't care. You know, I try to get that across to people. I send back a text. I don't care. I think they think I'm kidding because then they have to send me another text. Oh, yeah, but what about this? Is anybody else having problems with this? I mean, there's way too much information. I don't care if my granddaughter, you know, got an A in school. Okay, maybe I do care about that.
But not while you're having dinner.
But not all the time.
And so what did we have the other day at dinner?
I told my sister, hey, hon, put away your phone. Because she is talking, she is sending emails, and she's getting texting all the time. This is during dinner. It's enough. I have way too much energy or way too much going on. Okay, we've got to take a break here. And we're going to be trying out our first of our Fox News coming on here. This is a Carl and the Bot. We've got our call-ins about dog sleds, weather, and atomic energy later on in the show. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460. Carl and the Bot, our phone lines here are 605-4567. Portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And just because it's raining a little bit out there and it's 50 to 60, you know, mile an hour winds, we can still go down to Tobacco and Brew. Still's got the finest walk-in humidor in the North State. And once you're in there, then you've got to stop by Espresso Joe's and get that coffee. Get yourself fortified for the rest of the day. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew, so much more than just a tobacco shop. Weather for the people that are just coming in.
Brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. And by the way, Valentine's Day, they are going to have a spectacular five-course meal with a bottle of their fabulous award-winning wine. So hurry up. They're already got, they've got two seatings that have been taken up. But we have a caller on the line right now, and this is really exciting. Good
talking
morning, Brenda.
Brother, the family.
Good rainy, windy morning.
Oh, my gosh.
This is Brenda Belongi, who is big in the weather out there for the Forest Service.
And she's training firefighters to be safe right now.
Are you in Sacramento on a training mission?
Pretty much, yeah, and it's very, very windy out there. I was looking at some data a little while ago, 40 to 50 mile an hour gusts, real common. And I pity anyone driving down the valley to Sacramento or up the valley from Sacramento this morning because it is wet, wet, wet. And yesterday I saw one of the most impressive satellite images I've ever seen. There were actually four low-pressure systems visible on the imagery. It was very cool. And rain, Oak Bottom out by Whiskey Town, there's a weather station out there, has had almost 5 inches in the last 24 hours, if you can believe that.
Well, I know it's
that. Right at the airport there, it's been closer to 3/4 inch.
I know this, that they're saying that Lake Shasta is up 4 feet since Friday.
I'd believe that. I didn't look up those statistics. I was searching around, too, to look at road conditions and that sort of thing, and things really don't look too bad out there that way. Although Caltrans said there was a tree across 299 if you're headed west. But east was fine. But we have a big one coming in. Haven't we already had big ones? Definitely. But we have more waves coming through. We have a very, very strong, like a 200-mile-an-hour jet stream coming across the Pacific, and that's just pipelining these weather systems straight on in. And the good news for you folks that like winter sports is that there's been quite a bit of new snow out there in the mountains. And speaking of which, and Bob can talk about this too, we're headed off to do sled dog races this weekend. And while there'll be lots of fresh new snow, I think the weather this weekend is going to be great for that. It doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of new snow during the event, which makes it nice for spectators to come out and watch.
And where will this be held?
It will be at the Deer Mountain Snow Park there, just off of Highway 97 north of Weed. And they usually have it really well signed, so if you're interested in coming out and seeing that, it's pretty interesting. If you've never seen sled dogs do their thing, they get so excited. And the Siskiyou Snow Dog Sledding Association, or I can't ever remember their big name, the director of that has been a family friend for over 20 years, and Patrick's really into, Patrick Campbell's really into that. There was a big spread in the Siskiyou Daily, I guess, yesterday newspaper about it. And we've done it for a number of years, gone up there and provided some announcing services, and it's a lot of fun. It's really neat.
Now, when you're talking about, you know, the sled dog races up there, and where was this at again?
It's at the Deer Mountain Snow Park, just off of Highway 97, north of Weed.
Okay. Now, when we're talking about the sled dog races, I mean, how many entrants do they have there? Is it like 50, you know, 50 sleds, and there's like how many, 8 dogs per sled or something? How does this work?
It depends. They have different types of races. They have everything from a 50-mile race, and they have limits on how many dogs can be started out. I think they can do 10 dogs on that one or 8. Then they have shorter distance sprint races that are, they have 8 dog, 6 dog, and 4 dog sprints. The more you have, the longer the race. And then they have what's called ski-joring, and I don't know if I say that right, where one dog pulls a skier, or one or two dogs pulls a skier on skis, and they have quite a few, I think 4 entrants for that this year. Before, they haven't had that many. And if you go to Siskiyou Sled Dogs, or Siskiyou...
SleddingRaces.net.
Something like that, yeah.
No, that's what website. It is. It's Siskiyou SleddingRaces.net.
And it's Siskiyou Sled Dog Races.net.
Oh, Sled Dog
if you
Races.
Google Siskiyou Sled Dog Races, you know, Google's a verb, you'll find the site.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's there you go. I couldn't remember that. But anyway, it's very interesting because those dogs get so excited and they go out and come back, and it's real neat.
And what I understand, too, is that, you know, from these weather systems are breaking up just a little bit for this weekend. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes. Yes, we have the pipeline is bringing in one today and another one tomorrow. There won't be much of a break between that one and one Thursday, and then Friday it'll calm down quite a bit. And then this weekend it looks like we get a significant break between systems with the possibility of another one coming in very early next week.
Well, that's what I'm looking. That's what we're hearing is that next week will be even more rain. That 10 feet of snow is not going to be unusual up in the Sierras for this week.
Hey, Carl, come on, man. Who are you going to trust, the Weather Channel or me?
Well, you know, I know that you've been trained in, you know, in doing weather and all this. So, you know, of course, Brenda, we will trust the local information.
Well, I just hope I'm right. But like I always tell people, being a weather forecaster is the best job in the world, because what other job can you have? Be totally wrong and still get paid every 2 weeks. It's awesome.
I like that.
That's good. Okay, hey Brenda, thanks a lot for your phone call and for the heads up on the dog races. But this weather system is something that is having a definite impact here on the North State. We want to keep talking about that.
You're quite welcome. And,
thank you, Brenda.
Everybody, keep their powder dry out there.
All right,
okay,
Brenda, thanks
Brenda,
a lot.
Thanks.
Hey, we've got to take a break. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Do you own a small business or
home? Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Abbott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We got a phone call that from Indie Guy that says there's something big also going on tonight at City Council. They're going to take a look at if you remember last year, they set up a committee for REU because of the perception is that, why is REU throwing people out of their homes because they can't pay their electric bill? And so this led to the people standing up and saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong with the system that throws people out of their homes. It's because they can't pay their electric bill. Well, you know, there were cases. It wasn't like there was thousands being thrown out, but there were cases of things happening, plus big fines if they didn't, you know, if they lived in a place without electricity. Long stories. Mary Steele said, well, let's have a committee. Well, as soon as they say a committee, I start having problems when you have a committee that makes, you know, that comes in with recommendations that then the city council has to decide on anyway. So, I mean, we pay the city council a magnificent sum of like $400 a month to meet there and then take all this abuse, which, you know, but if you're going to run for office, you're going to stand in there, you know, hey, standby, guys. You know, you want the job, then you're going to have to stand up for it. Anyway, the committee came back with these recommendations, and they said, okay, you know, how they were going to take some of them and not. And then as soon as the, you know, about throwing people out of their homes, about, you know, how much they can raise the rates, or, you know, where's the money going for, you know, for the late fees, all these. Anyway, tonight the city council is going to meet, and they're going to talk about the progress report on regarding implementation of the council-approved the Utility Billing Review Committee, REU's recommendation. So that's going to be happening tonight at City Council. It could be a good thing to at the City Council headquarters there. It could be a good place to go to and see what's going on again with the City Council. The East Coast is having something just besides storms today.
Massachusetts.
It's going to be, it could be something like a perfect storm, though. You've got a huge Senate race going on there between a Democrat, big surprise there, named Coakley, who was the Attorney General, and until the last few weeks, a little-known state senator. We're running for Ted Kennedy's spot for the Massachusetts Senate, or for the senator from Massachusetts. The impact on this could be huge in the country, because if Brown, the guy running for senator, the Republican, wins, it changes the whole scenario as far as what goes on in the Senate. Because then if Brown wins, the supermajority is gone. It is now 59-41.
Well, you've been hearing it, the independents. Surprisingly, how many people are currently becoming independent? They're leaving their parties, and they're just hanging out to see how they want to vote. Doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. People are getting disgusted with the whole, you know, polarizing of our country, and so they're hanging out in the independent zone. So that's going to be the body that's going to make up who wins. But what we were talking at the break I don't know how you guys feel about this, but Brown had posed for Cosmo in 1982. And very much along the lines of the Burt Reynolds where, you know, they said he's naked. Well, he's naked except for the fact that his parts are being...
He has strategically placed hands so that nothing is showing.
Or except, a leaf. I didn't see that part.
It was strategically placed hands. So the thing is it, you know, are we having a dual standard here? That if, you know, Brown posed like this in 1982, of course, that's a long time ago, you know, while you're bringing it up. But they're saying, what if Coakley had... posed that way?
Well, let's just, it's just interesting because what do you consider parts? Carl's looking at me like, what? No, I mean, okay, so he was covering his parts. So what's wrong with that? It would be like a woman with a, you know, wearing a thong bathing suit, but she also had a top on. She just has more parts of her body revealed. Like when you go and you see a, you know, a show, an ice skating show. I mean, or a Vegas review or certain, just go to the beach in Miami. You know, I mean, so I just don't get, is that, I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek. It was humorous. It was.
Well, for Cosmopolitan back there, but is it, should they, you know, should people be held responsible for something like that? Okay, you know, if you're out there and you're an ex-murderer or things back, you know, 28 years ago. Okay, big deal. But there was not, but I think the bottom line was there was not a big deal made about him appearing like this. And they're saying, what if she had appeared like this? Would it have been a big deal? Would this have been in the papers? And it probably would have been because there is a dual standard on this. But the bottom line, though, is this Senate race is huge. And what Linda is saying about the independents is absolutely right. There's about 1.4 million people in, Massachusetts that say that they are Democrat. There's like 480,000 that say they're Republican. There's well over 2 million, almost 2.5 million that say that they're independent. And I think you're going to be seeing that in the future, that people are pulling back, just like she said. They're going to be pulling back and saying, you know what, I'm not voting party. I'm voting for the person. I'm voting for what they stand for. And that's the bottom line on it. We're going to take a quick break. When we do, we're going to come back to, we got the phones lit up, and we're going to get back to the phones. But first, our break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Good morning, Reading. This is KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on your Free Fire Radio morning. I'm going to be here till 9 o'clock this morning. Let's tell you about the weather. It's rainy, it's windy, highs today 44 to 52. Okay, there is a flood advisory, there is a wind alert. Right now we've got winds 25 to 35 miles per hour with gusts up to 55 miles per hour. So if you're just tuning in, please be careful. We're taking your calls this morning. The phones are lit up, so hold on, 605-4567. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you this morning?
Yeah, thanks for calling back. I'm sure you're going to give us an update of what happened last night.
I wanted to do that, but first you mentioned the REU review committee update. Actually, that item is on the agenda, but it's on the consent agenda, so they won't be bringing it forward and speaking about it in open session. And I still am being a member of that review committee. And the way it stretched out so long that the staff put so much on us that it took so long to get it done, that we did make some good improvements on REU, and then the council saw fit to not implement some of them, and then has since turned around and taken away some of them that they did implement.
You know, this whole thing, Gary, if this whole thing to me was ridiculous from the very beginning. You know, this is something they should have made a decision on. The people were standing there, and they said, oh, let's have a committee. And what that did was it bought 6 months of time, mm-hmm. and where they met, you know, the committee met long hours. They came up with ideas just to have them really nothing happen.
Yeah, we spent over 40 hours in open session of committee time. I mean, there was an awful lot of work that the five of us did trying to get something done, and then to have the thing to turn out the way it did. So, and then this progress report is put on the consent agenda where it's not going to even be mentioned.
Well, this whole thing, you know, I go back and I applaud Patrick Jones for his
for his changing when, you know, with the reports coming out, so people have a better chance to look at it.
Yeah,
and then I turn around and I see politics. I mean, this is Reading. This is not Chicago. This is not the White House. This is not driving things down, you know, and hiding stuff from the people.
Well, real quickly, I didn't want to take a lot of time because you've allowed me time before on this issue, but getting back to the clerk treasurer appointment, the actual language that will be on the ballot, I'm just going to read the last two lines on that. It says that these people to be appointed are not required to be a resident or an elector in the city, and that the city council may by ordinance, and an ordinance is a city law, the city county by ordinance may vest in the city manager its authority to appoint the city clerk and city treasurer. So they're saying the city council will make the appointment, but right in the language on the ballot language, it states that the city county can give their authority to make these two appointments to the city manager. That scares the heck out of me.
Well,
that's taking our rights away from us.
Well, it does. And not only that, but the city manager just gives him more power.
Right.
And how much, you know, right now I know that there's people on the city council that already complain that the staff has way too much power, that the staff, you know, is the one that shapes the way they vote. But, you know, and even to the point of this thing like with Tank, you know, putting it on a consent calendar. And then, you know, them not really, and this is, you know, bad on them, that they didn't really understand what it meant. And then have, you know, this huge embarrassment of everybody that comes, you know, that's associated with Tank, pulls out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the city of Reading is the last one. After it's all said and done, it's already over with, Tank's pulled the plug, then the city of Reading says, oh, I guess we won't go forward with it any longer either.
Well, but this thing, too, again, you know, is now... Was this being voted on yet? Have they said that they're going to do this about the clerk?
Tonight is the night.
All right.
They're going to vote to put it on the. This is the language they're voting on.
Okay.
They did it last May the 5th, and then tonight's the night they vote. If they vote yes tonight, it will be on the ballot on June the 8th.
All right. So tonight at 6:00, this is the time to come down and say, you know, enough's enough. You know, you quit. You know, you're gathering more and more power. It's a camel's got his nose in the tent. We start doing this, we're going to start losing even more.
It's
time to come down to city council at 6:00 tonight. I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Come join me.
Well, you know we are, and you know, y'all hear enough of me talking all during the during the week. But I'm going to be there to see what happens because this to me is. I want to hear the other side, you know, from Starman and about why they want to do this. But to me, it just smacks again of taking another elected official that has some kind of oversight, and the city clerk does, of what goes on there, and giving that power to the city manager one more time to for him to consolidate his power and to make things, again, a rubber stamp from the city council.
Right. Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gary, for calling. Well, you know, this just is just, and sometimes it's infuriating that I'm sure that there's, you know, there's technical reasons, and I'm sure there's reasons to do this. You know, they're saying, well, it's becoming so technical, it's becoming so complex. You need somebody that's trained in it, that's somebody we can appoint, as opposed to maybe having an official that's running for office that may not be the best choice for it. And I understand that, but, you know, that's up to the people.
Coming up after Fox News, we have a special guest, Richard Merriman, who we're going to talk about nuclear power, other parts of the world that are using it. Where are we with it in the United States? Is it safe? Where is it going? Here's a man who's been involved with nuclear power and for 30-some years. So we're looking forward to asking questions and taking your calls. This is KCNR1460.com. If you can't place a call, please email us, and we'll read your email. And, Bob, what is the webcast again right now?
And we have a couple of people on the webcast, Indie Guy and somebody who hasn't signed in yet. But it is livestream, livestream.com/freefireradio. It will launch a window in your browser. A brief commercial will play, and then you'll see a live video feed, and you'll hear pretty good audio from the studio.
Excellent.
Okay. The
But the live stream right now is not something that, I mean, it's not, you're not seeing the studio though right now, are you?
Well, you're seeing the back of my head, basically.
Yeah, I can see you.
You okay. can see the console and the monitors and things like that because we are in sort of a beta test.
Okay, the big thing we want to get out, though, of course, is the audio going out. And how many people can hear this then?
With the live stream, it's pretty much an unlimited number. We can go worldwide with this.
Well, yeah, I realize that, but is there a okay, so starting then this weekend, we'll be able to start streaming out to everywhere. Okay. This is Carl Lindabad on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, join us after the news. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Baugh as we start our second hour here. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You want to send us an email, which some people are doing. It's Carl or Linda at KCNR1460.com. If you just want to have us, you know, say something on the air too and you don't want to be on the air, we do that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have got the finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Maybe perhaps even California. I may exaggerate a little bit there, but today, yeah, it's rainy. When you go in there, stop at Espresso Joe's, get your coffee, get your hot tea, get the you know, those special coffee drinks that the girls will make for you, and it will help you go for the rest of the day because today is going to be rainy and nasty. Tobacco and Brew, so much more than just a tobacco store. Hey, our guest today is, you know, we're lucky in a lot of ways to have Richard Merriman in the studio here. One, he's got a great deal of expertise in the nuclear energy field, but he's also a great member of our community and a good friend of ours. And it started via the Patriot Guard Riders, where we got to know Richard. And then we found out after months and months what he did for a living.
Oh, good morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning, Richard.
And thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Well, okay, let's let our listeners, please, Richard, if you will, give a little history of, I was incorrect in saying 30-something. It's 28 years.
That's
but
correct.
Still, I mean, it's up there in the big numbers. About your history with nuclear power.
To start off with, I'd like to make the point that I'm a worker bee. I'm not one of the guys from the NRC. I'm not a federal inspector. I don't audit the book of the vice president of the company, but a worker bee. So I think I have a pretty broad understanding of how the operations of a nuclear plant work, what it takes to get the job done, you kind of hear scuttlebutt around sites like new nuclear power as far as what plants are being designed, who wants to build a new one, who doesn't want to build a new one.
Well, okay, so you travel a great deal.
In the older days, we used to travel quite a bit overseas as well as in the United States. But through the last probably about 10, 15 years, through our help in some cases, these operations in say, Spain and France and Germany and Switzerland, these people have learned how to do the inspections themselves. So now we pretty much now, as a company I work with, usually Canada, sometimes back to Spain.
I think what happens... when people hear the word nuclear, you think explosion. You think the worst. But tell us the pros of nuclear.
To address the first one about as far as explosion, what's the fuel that's being used for nuclear power generation cannot explode. You've probably heard on the news the possibility of a dirty bomb. Well, that's about all you can do with it is set off a small explosion somewhere that's going to spread radioactive material where you don't want it. But the pros, if you look at the history, and TMI is a prime example of that, of even after the incident at TMI, which was a pretty severe accident at Three Mile Island.
Three Mile Island.
To this day, a lot of the people and families that live within 2-3 blocks of the place in Middletown, Pennsylvania, they still live there. There's been no statistical increase in anything. They knew at the time of the release that it was minuscule to begin with. But people need to realize, what was it, 3-4 months after that incident, Jane Fonda had that infamous movie.
The China Syndrome,
that's right.
Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to put things in perspective a little bit about nuclear energy and the plants that we have out there, and just a little background. Then we can go into you know, the future of it, and but we really do want to talk about Chernobyl, which was a huge, huge disaster, and how that really there were some parallels to Three Mile Island and the differences in it, which is shows the difference in the safety, but also the future of where we're going with nuclear energy in this country. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Richard Merriman, nuclear plant inspector. You know, do you have like a big badge you wear on your chest?
It's not big, but there's several badges.
Okay. Hey, let's put nuclear power just into a little perspective here. You know, most people just don't, you know, you're walking around in your jammies this morning saying, I'm not going to go out in the rain. Our country's got 104 reactors in 31 states right now, and it's operated by, I think, by 30 companies. And there's been a lot of consolidation in these companies, and that may be something we want to talk about.
Well, that's correct. The construction costs are anywhere from $2.5 to $3.5 billion for one of these new sites being constructed at an existing site. So, a small company can't do it.
Right. In 2008, our country generated 4 billion megawatts of electricity. 49% was by coal-fired plants, 22% from natural gas, 6% from hydro, and 20% from nuclear plants. So 70% of our power, the vast majority coming from coal-fired plants, comes from either, you know, the coal or the nuke industry. And the problem is that because of statements by our president and the greening that we've got, is that a lot of money is not going to be put into the coal-fired technology. And, in fact, it was even said that if you want to have coal, you know, you say clean coal, if you're going to have a coal-generated electricity, then they're going to tax you heavy. So we've got to go into alternative means, and the alternative means, it appears, is not just hydro and solar and wind. It's got to be nukes at some point.
Absolutely. There really is truly no such thing as clean coal technology. There's cleaner coal technology by today's standards. For instance, let's say if you wanted an electric car, what's relevant is what do you have it plugged into on the other end? If you've got the power coming down the line to charge up the batteries in that car coming from a coal plant, then environmentally, have you really gained anything? Do you really get to take credit for a pro-environment if you're using an old coal plant to charge the batteries in your electric car?
And from what I understand, California has laws is that we cannot import electricity if it comes from a coal plant or something. I don't know about nukes, though.
Well, since there are nukes, Public Utility Commission, there's formulas that they use on how much power you have to produce, how much you can import, how much you can sell. Because if you have to import it, it's usually at a higher cost, which gets passed on to the ratepayer.
Let's go to the phones.
John, good morning.
You're on the air, KCNR.
You're on the air.
Good morning, John.
John Ruth, and otherwise known as Ping Jockey.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're great.
Great. I have a couple of questions for Richard. One is, since there are so many alarmists, and I'm saying that in you know, with a grain of salt, because alarmists do keep our ears open. But since there are so many alarmists, would it not be a politically correct and effective way to allay our fears to post some dosimeters in some public places just to let people know how little exposure there is?
That's possibly not a bad idea. The drawback, though, is there's a lot of items in the world that are naturally radioactive. So if you happen to be living in a place where, like clay is high in radioactive material compared to some other materials. So if you live in a place that's high in clay, you're going to have a slightly higher background. And some people might think that's because you live next to something, not that you're living on top of something.
Even at that, would there still not be a very low reading?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Through regulation, as far as even being a nuclear worker, working inside of a nuclear plant, inside containment where the reactors and generators are,
the dose rates that workers are allowed to receive today are so low, there's probably airline pilots that aren't being monitored today that are picking up higher doses of radiation than these workers are.
Ah.
You know, maybe publicize that information.
Right.
Well, when you say pilots are receiving more, you mean just from
the sun? Yeah.
From the sun. Oh, okay.
The best shield you have against radiation, of course, is lead. Or in the nuclear power industry, they use water. The distance and what's the depth of the water. Well, if you look at the atmosphere, pilots fly at 40,000 feet. They don't have a lot of atmosphere shielding and
the ionosphere.
That's right. And people up on the space station, they're just getting fried.
Wow. See, I would have never
known
that.
As far as our standard goes, because there's absolutely nothing shielding them.
Right.
Well, thanks for your call, John.
Well, I have one more question.
Okay.
The biggest concern that I don't have an answer for, and I'm not sure that anybody does, is the nuclear waste. What is the, you know, what's the policy? What's going to happen with that? Is there a perfect way to get rid of this? Make the nuclear depleted material completely benign?
There's really no way to make it completely benign, but if you want to take like a comic book idea, looking really into the future, shooting it off in the sun is probably the best result because the sun's a lot hotter than it is, so there'd be no net effect. Yucca Mountains, places like that, is really, truly the real answer because all these years there's been a moratorium on shipping and coming up with a single storage facility. So most people don't realize it, but they'll fight against Yucca Mountain while at the same time, maybe 50 miles away, all this spent fuel is being stored locally because there is no place else to take it.
Yeah, they'd rather have it in a garage.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be discussing a few of these questions like that, John, because I tell you, I'm an advocate for nuclear energy. I think that if we don't look at the future and use nuclear energy, that we are going to have a shortage of energy for one thing, but it's going to be horrendous cost to the average American if we don't pull nuclear energy in it. So thanks a lot, John, for your phone call.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to take a break here. This is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Now, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carla Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and our guest is Richard Merriman, who is he's our resident nuke guy. He's here. We're talking about nuclear energy. We're going to talk, you know, we want to talk about the future of it, you know, problems with it. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Richard Merriman. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you.
Taking your call, 605-4567, ask the expert on nuclear power. My question for you is, well, we were talking at the break. Let's talk about what we were talking about at the break, because a lot of times things happen at the break, and we need to bring it back so we can talk about it on the air, about the cleanliness of nuclear as opposed to what happens with coal and other things, what that leaves behind as opposed to nuclear.
The biggest advantage to nuclear is you're not taking anything away from something else to generate nuclear or generate power. You're not burning natural gas. You're not burning wood. You're not burning coal to generate steam to turn a turbine to generate that electricity. You're not taking away from anything. And the footprint that's left over from spent fuel is very, very small. It could be shipped on the back of a flatbed truck. It's very, very small. What they have built and tested over the years are casks, and that's exactly where they're at now, is cold storage casks. Where it just looks like a big can of Pringles.
Where are they?
Currently, they're being stored at each nuclear power plant that exists because they're not allowed to use Yucca Mountain or something like that.
You know, and that's an important part here. And let's bring this one out. Is, you know, people don't want to have the nuclear, you know, the residue. They're saying, oh, we don't want to put it into the ground. We don't want to do this, you know. But they forget that it's been stored for decades in neighborhoods, you know, down the street from people you may know at some point. And there hasn't been any incidents. And, you know, yes, there is this residue. There is the spent rods. But from what I understand now is, according to, you know, what the French are working on, is that they're saying like 96% of all these can be recycled through.
Yeah, the French is developing, they're pretty close to developing the technology to
essentially what you have to do is bring the nuclear fuel back down to a level, because it actually becomes a lot more radioactive as you use it. So they have a way of kind of reducing the nuclear fuel back to a lower state of activity, because if the power is generated or the heat is generated when they do the transformation from low activity on each atom to high activity.
Well, Richard, what is the future of nuclear energy in our country?
With politics and politics. Well, in 2001, the government passed a bill that allowed nuclear power plants, if they were to choose a fast-track technology to build a plant, that they would have they basically jumped to the head of line of getting theirs approved. If you ever built a house, you'd kind of appreciate the fact that here is a nuclear power plant doing a fast track with the NRC to get approval. It takes 41 months. So, and that's using a pre-approved design. So you can imagine what some of these plants maybe have to go through to get a new plant online, just politically, just to get the paperwork done.
Now, there's been how many plants are under planning right now or have been given the go-ahead to start?
There's been a couple plants that have applied for permits but haven't actually started construction yet. There's about a half a dozen that are actually moving dirt. It's projected that anywhere from between 4 to 8 by the year 2018, that somewhere between 4 to 8 can come online. Currently, all the projected new construction, though, is happening at locations where there is an existing nuclear power plant already.
They're just expanding what they've got already.
Yeah, which helps the grid, but like up here in Reading, it'd be kind of nice to have our own power up here.
Right, and what size nuclear generator would it take to run Reading, and do you see that really happening in the future?
I really do. If you look at the nuclear Navy, and I'll use the Enterprise, the USS Enterprise as an example, normally, the numbers always fluctuate, but normally there's plus 5,000 people aboard ship. They have usually one reactor that just provides for ship's company, just to cook and do laundry and all that kind of stuff. And they have plenty of fuel and power yet to power that big boat just about anywhere they want to power it. But so you take one of those very small reactors out of there and bring it up to Reading, you can probably power the city of Reading. And when we talk megawatts, for instance, one of the smaller BWRs, which is older technology, might be 1,100 megawatts, where a windmill, for even the biggest one made in the world, it only produces 10 megawatts. So that's a good example of we'd have to be surrounded by windmills to even come close to generating the same power you get from the smallest nuclear power
plant.
Now,
how big? What's the footprint of that nuclear power plant?
The
footprint
of itself is maybe four city blocks, and the utility has what they call a controlled area for security reasons. That might have, say, a total of 10 acres.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember the news a couple weeks ago, remember you heard on the news where in Texas there was a nuclear lockdown at a nuclear power plant? Did you hear that?
Right.
What that turned out to be, that wasn't a nuclear power plant. That was a nuclear weapons assembly plant.
Oh.
But what was happening was a couple of ranchers were just hunting and happened to cross over the wrong line. And that's a pretty good indication of how security is pretty tight at these plants where just the fact these two hunters on the periphery of the owner's property shut the plant down, brought them into lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're saying a nuclear plant here, to run a city the size of Reading would be, you could put it four city blocks.
The footprint Wheelabrator has would be big enough to put the nuclear plant on.
And how big is that?
The Wheelabrator, the power plant that's in Anderson that used.
Oh, okay.
Wood to generate power.
Well, that's a small area.
And if you look at San Onofre and Songs in Southern California, you could stand on the freeway, and you're not but a few hundred feet away from the containment buildings.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna take a break here in a minute, but I want to talk about what happened at Chernobyl, and how there was the parallels between Chernobyl and Three Mile Island. But then the huge differences about what happened between Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, because it was that led to to movies, and which probably did more to kill nuclear energy in the United States than any politician could have done with just that with just one movie going on there, and of course the horrible disaster at Chernobyl. Today's weather, we've got a few seconds before we take the break, but
the weather today is just not going to let up,
is it? We're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Every Saturday at noon on Boomer Tech Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You can send us an email at Carl or Linda at KCNR1460.com. Our guest today is Richard Merriman. And we're talking nuclear energy.
Before we took our break, Richard, we were discussing Chernobyl and the effects of and the parallels. What happened?
Well, I'd like to bring it back to also TMI, because Chernobyl and TMI,
Three Mile Island,
were essentially caused by the same thing, human error. Both places, the permits were, or not permits, their operating procedures weren't adequate. Their backup systems were not adequate. People made mistakes. The big difference between the two is Chernobyl, on the Russian-built plants of that age, they use what is called a carbon core reactor, which is a solid reactor using carbon to moderate the radioactivity of the fuel in the reactor. In the United States, they use boron diluted in water to help control. Another big difference between Russia and the United States at this time, like Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, is that we build containment buildings, massive buildings, over the top of our reactors and our steam generation power units, where in Russia they don't. I guess you could say life is cheaper in Russia, so they didn't build anything safe to safeguard the public. So when there was an incident at Chernobyl, a lot of people got exposed to some very, very bad stuff because this stuff went almost everywhere.
Well, what they did, from what I understand, they had a thermal implosion there, and that just threw it up into the atmosphere,
right,
and all over the surrounding countryside.
Right, because what in both Three Mile Island and Chernobyl, when experienced, Chernobyl was obviously 100% core meltdown of the reactor, where at Three Mile Island, it's been argued whether it's 80, 90, 70%, but it was a pretty severe meltdown as well.
I grew up in Sacramento where the Twin Tower Rancho Seco power plant was in effect. Why did that close down?
Because Rancho Seco was essentially owned by a public utility, just like Redding up here has their own public utility. It was a Sacramento Municipal Utility District, if I remember right. The plant itself was having some, because of the politics, was having difficulty operating. They were having problems and backbiting and that kind of thing. Essentially, the plant was in relatively good shape, but due to politics and the appearance of a Sacramento/liberal California owning a nuclear power plant at that time in the world, just didn't seem feasible.
I have one more point I want to make about Three Mile Island is that when they had the thermal explosion at
Chernobyl,
and it spread spread everything in the atmosphere, and people started dying. I mean, literally, that second. Well, some were killed in the explosion, but when just trying to contain it, the helicopter pilots, and there were some real heroes trying to contain what happened at Chernobyl. There were mistakes at Three Mile Island, and from what from talking to you and other things in our research has shown is that our people there, our technicians, did not believe what they saw on the instruments.
Absolutely.
And they waited, that extra 5 or 6 minutes to send somebody down there to find out, is this really happening? And it did. When the core started melting or coming in on itself, the huge difference is those containment buildings.
Absolutely.
That held everything. And there was not one injury that we know of, one injury from something that was 80% as bad as what happened in Chernobyl, and untold thousands of people died or affected from that.
Yeah, the only way to help control a situation like that when it's getting out of control is to deluge it with water. Where at TMI, 3 Mile Island, because of the containment building, they just flooded the containment building. So the case is done, it's secure. At Chernobyl, because they don't have the containment building, they deluged it with water. But that's what led to the thermal explosion, was some very, very, very hot things coming in contact with some very, very, very cold things. And most people know that happens, causes explosions.
If you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Richard Merriman, and we're talking about nuclear power plants, and if you've got any questions for our expert guest, do call 605-4567. Heads up, I-5 is closed to Twin View. The power lines are down. Our current weather is 46 degrees. There is a wind advisory right now until 6 p.m., and also flooding. So be careful. Again, Twin View at I-5 is closed at the moment.
Okay, Richard, the movie that came out.
Yeah, The China Syndrome.
The China Syndrome came out kind of in conjunction with all of this. I mean, they couldn't have had a better lead-in.
Absolutely not.
And it was, of course, an anti-nuclear energy film. How big an effect did this have on what happened in the future for nukes?
I think it had a huge effect. There was two things that happened almost simultaneously. At the time, we had President Carter, who came from the nuclear Navy world. That was his world. When TMI had their incident, he went personally to TMI and then tried to reassure people, rightly so, that the effect was not bad. That it wasn't the effect of people weren't bad.
We have somebody online, Indiguy, hydroelectric power is being left out of the green energy plan. What say you about that?
Well, that's a bad thing. It should be included. But the downside, the reason it's not, is the environmentalists. You know, like Shasta Dam, we'll probably never see in our lifetime another Shasta Dam built.
Yeah, and they're saying is, you know, from what I understand too, is hydroelectric energy is not considered renewable, and because of, you know, once it goes through, it does not, you know, from then on it doesn't count, so it can't be considered as a renewable asset. Too.
The only side that is actually considered renewable is Denmark and Sweden are working on what's called wave technology, where you implant big items under the sea that the ships can still go over the top of, and as the tides come in and out, it moves these plates, which turns the turbine and generates power.
Right? Talk about that in a minute. I'm not sure about that, but let's talk about it. Well, Bob's got something there.
We just got a call in that at Placer and Orange, there's a power pole that is failing, wires coming down. Placer Street currently closed, according to what we are hearing from this caller. So if you're heading that direction, that's part of your morning commute, be aware of that. I do have a comment on the hydropower, because I just did last year a documentary for the USBR about hydropower for the Bureau of Reclamation. And the hydropower has a renewable aspect in that as the water comes down, you can have multiple dams along the stream that are also used for other things like irrigation, flood control. And it's if you go to Great Plains region, you can see the documentary, and they talk about these issues. It is, in fact, a renewable resource because the water doesn't go away. It goes to the ocean, goes up into the atmosphere, and starts the hydrologic cycle again.
It's renewable if you have the extra dams.
We're not in control of it. It may not rain for 3 years, which makes it ineffective.
Yeah.
I guess the thing that if I have an issue at all, it would just be about the latest statistic you were talking about, Denmark and Sweden.
A lot of the countries in that area, because they have a lot of effects from the tides.
My personal bell goes off about fooling around with the ocean.
Well,
ocean floor.
There's nothing being done. What they're doing is they're like taking the rudder of a ship, and they post it, say, 100 feet down, 200 feet down, depending on how far they have to go to allow shipping to go over the top, and it just sits there. And what happens is as the tides come in, it puts force against this rudder device, which turns a wheel that generates power. As the tides go back out, just like the rudder, it just pushes back out the other way. There's no chemicals. There's no fuel.
So there's no. They're not laying rods in the ocean floor.
No.
Okay.
All it is a device that the tides can affect, because anytime you can create movement, then generate power from that movement.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio.
Hi, Joe Adams.
Good morning, North State. It's Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. You are listening to KCNR 1460. And boy, I'll tell you something. If you haven't been outside yet, there is a wind advisory warning, up to 55 miles an hour gusty winds to be expected. There's power lines down on Placer. Twin View is closed. And by the way, City of Reading crews are ready to provide North State residents with assistance. This week, as they face high winds and heavy rain, sandbags are available at Reading Fire Station No. 4 on South Bonneview Road and the City Corporation Yard on Viking Way. Residents must limit sandbags themselves with a limit of 25 bags. So please be careful of downed power lines. Just go slow. Just be aware that it's nasty outside. Our guest today is Richard Merriman. We are talking about nuclear plants, nuclear activity. You had a question, Carl.
Yeah, you know, we're looking at...
You were looking at me like I...
you got me on that one. We were looking at nuclear energy and the future of it. You know, one of the things is, and we talked about it earlier, you know, President Obama's made it real clear in the things he was saying, even if it was kind of like hidden, that if you want to have a coal-powered plant, we're going to tax you out of business.
Right.
So people that are relying on, you know, the clean coal energy, the taxes are going to be horrendous on these, I believe, you know, from what he said. The cap and trade, or as we say, steal your cash, you know, plans are coming in here, mugging and steal, is also going to have a huge impact because it's all got to be renewable energy and it's got to be, you know, all this green. But they're also going to be taxing, again, the coal plants. Well, because of this and because it's the natural gas, which... they started switching over to natural gas because they had less, you know, problems with this. But there is not the money being put in this type of technology because people are looking at the future, at the writing on the wall, which is going to have, a huge impact on us. I don't see anywhere we can't go to take up the slack except with the nukes.
Yeah, and even with natural gas, which is a good fuel to use to burn to generate electric power, you're still taking something away from something to get the electric power. Natural gas can be used to heat homes, but now it's being diverted for electric power, so your gas bill might triple.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have to break in real quick here with another update on I-5.
Both north and south is closed on I-5 at Twin View because of power lines being down. So our guest today, again, is Richard Merriman, and we want to keep you updated as soon as you tune in to let you know what's happening with the weather here in the North State. We're taking your call, 605-4567. Richard, in your 20-some-plus years as a nuclear, what would be your title?
I'm a inspector, but I'm not. And that's why I said at the start of the show that I don't work for the NRC. I'm not the guy at the top. I'm more of a worker bee. I'm the guy that goes in and does the actual physical inspection of parts and components to determine if they're usable, if they should be replaced.
So what would a typical day be? I mean, do they have a plant would have restrictions that every month or 30 days they have to be have an inspector come and look at the facility?
This was all driven by the airline industry. When they discovered things fail, and they try to predict failure rates. So in the nuclear, we go in. Usually it's on an 18-month cycle, and it coincides with their refueling cycle. There are just certain components that we have to inspect more frequent than other components. Depends on the life of the plant. But the whole idea is to try to find things and predict whether they're going to fail in the future so that they continue to operate without having to come down in the middle of an operating cycle.
You know, I kind of was a little long-winded when I talked about the future of the nuclear energy here. I mean, from your viewpoint, what do you see? You see us more and more plants going to have to come online. You see, because, you know, even though the Obama administration is a, you know, green-based, they seem to be not putting any more horrendous regulations than anybody else has, at least so far.
Yeah, it kind of politically, it seems like nuclear power plant operators today were kind of like, they were given an incentive to move forward, but then the government didn't realize they were actually going to do it. As an example of where we have to go, Sweden, I believe it was in the early 90s, most of their power comes, about 70% comes from nuclear power in the country of Sweden. They did a moratorium in Sweden and decided they were going to shut all the nuclear power down because it's nuclear, it's scary. And as that date approached, people finally realized, well, that means we have to turn our lights off. That means we can't run a refrigerator. Our TVs aren't going to work. And they voted then to leave the nuclears running because there truly is no other alternative to nuclear. Long term, without taking something away from something else.
I wonder what the span of time was for the Sweden.
It was approximately 5 years. Because you just don't, I mean, it's got some usefulness, so you don't, and you have to replace it with something. Mm-hmm. So initially they were talking 5 years to go from giving the order that you're going to shut down to actually pulling the plug.
Mm-hmm.
But as that five-year period approached, they realized they needed to change their mind.
We're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our special guest today is Richard Merriman. We're talking about nuclear power, also updating you with the weather alert, our wind advisory, our flood advisory, and Twin View is closed. We'll be back after these messages. This is KCNR 1460.
Termites in the...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Our guest tomorrow is going to be the superintendent of the Shasta County Schools, Tom Armelino. He'll be on at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Our streaming that's going right now, we're getting questions in from the stream. And one is for our guest, Richard Merriman. What would it take to get the Yucca Mountain Complex back online?
To get it back online would take nothing. It is online. What it would take is to have political leaders, governors, and a president to say, do it, and then establish the logistics to actually move the fuel.
Right.
But all it would take at this point is just the power.
So they're
to
ready. They're ready to do it.
Yeah. All they would have to do is say, do it.
Okay, we've only got a few minutes left here. What do you see again? I realize the Swedes, were talking about losing power. Is it going to be one of the in our future here in the next decade? Is it going to be nukes?
It's got to be nukes. Just I use that Swedish as an example, where at some point in the future we're going to find that nuclear is the only answer for generating power on a large, very large scale, because what we're doing currently is we're taking things away from other things to make that power. And as populations increase, as the availability of coal, as availability of fossil fuels, as they become limited, there's going to have to be only one answer left, nuclear.
Well, I tell you, I understand that, and Linda understands that. People have got a lot of problems with it. I mean, people we know that are that understand the energy problems, they have a real problem with the fact is that at the end of it, you've got a... you've got the rods that have to be taken care of, and that they will be around forever. They're like, mm-hmm. And that's true. But we've got them now, and they're being contained, and there hasn't been any accidents. In fact, one of the things that's come up again in our research is there has never been a life lost in any type of nuclear incident in civilians.
Under the production side, as far as the electrical production side of nuclear, there's never been a lost life. There's been, I don't know what, back in the late 50s, there was a guy that was killed in a university, some kind of test reactor.
Right. And, I don't know about the military because, they don't publish.
I don't believe there's been any, I haven't even heard rumors, and I used to do some military work, so not to tell stories out of school, but I never heard rumors either, except for unless there's a problem with the ship itself or the boat.
Well, plus you've been an inspector for 20-plus years. If you're going in to inspect a plant that could possibly, there could be a leakage or some kind of problem, I mean, when you go to the doctors, does the doctor tell you year after year, you've had exposure and you've got something wrong with your health? I mean, you're right there in the mix.
What they do nowadays is dose rates that workers are allowed to receive in radiation exposure, those rates are so low that if you have a medical problem that requires half a dozen x-rays, you've just exceeded quarterly what we're allowed to receive in the same time frame.
So if you have six or seven x-rays, it comes to about the same as a worker is allowed to have.
Right. There's all different types of radiation, but the part that enters your body and can cause cellular damage in your body, that is very similar to the same as x-rays. And the amount that we're allowed to receive as workers is so low now that essentially medical problems, or like I said before, airline pilots receive a lot more.
Okay, quick prediction. The North State, how long do you think it will be before we go, okay, this is it, we have to go nuclear?
I think we would be driven nuclear by somebody else taking the power away, because we have nothing up here to provide power for ourselves.
Isn't it still, can we even have nuclear energy plants in California, or is there a law? I mean,
there's no moratorium.
We can still do that. Okay, there's no moratorium on
that. We just need
that.
The political willingness to say yes to it.
Well, there's a political willingness to spend money everywhere else. We talk about, today we talked about on the nuclear energy is the accidents that people are afraid about, that happened at Chernobyl. Same thing happened along the same parallel at Three Mile Island. However, it was contained because the way we structure these are a lot better. The type of technology in the last 30 years, since I guess it was about the last time we built a plant, has gotten so much better since then, as far as being able to recycle all the rods and recover it. And you're saying right now is that there may even be a new type of technology that takes care of all of that.
Yeah, these original nuclear power plants were scheduled to only have a 20 to 30 year lifespan. The technology today has been so good in improving these plants, where a lot of them are getting licensing to extend out to 30 and 40 years.
Yeah. Hey, we'd sure like to thank you for being our guest today.
Richard Merriman, it's always a pleasure, and we hope to have you back soon.
Okay, thank you.
Again, this is Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR1460.com is our website. Check it out today. Send us an email. Let us know your thoughts, feedback, what you want to hear about, and we will be an open line to make that happen.
Now, we're going to be someplace Friday night. At the, I believe it's...
Oh, we're going to be guest bartenders at Maritime Grill. That's right down the street. So come by and see us, 5 o'clock on. We'll mix you up some kind of exciting cocktail concoction.
Yeah, we're down there. Again, we're promoting local businesses. And this is one of the local businesses down here. And so we're more than happy to stand behind a bar since we've done that. It'll be a new thing because usually we're standing on the other side of the bar.
Yeah, and there's going to be a nice little jazz combo. It'll be a fun night, so come by. Even if it's a little happy hour time. Whatever.
Maybe we'll make up a new drink called the Free Fire Radio Blast.
Like it.
That, you can get into this. This is Carl in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.